This is episode 73, yet another recording to debate the latest happenings in the PHP world. And as always, I have here with me Arthur Sossin, that has been very busy painting his house and he is never tired. Hello, Arthur.
Hello. Yeah, renovating home is tiresome job, but also it's coding. So whatever you do, the most of the time of the day, you'll get tired of it either way. So
yeah, well, that's how life goes. But today we are going to talk several interesting PHP topics. Not many as in some episodes before, probably because some people are on vacation and PHP 7.1 is coming to a feature freeze, so there are not as many proposals. So, but let's move on and talk about what we have. Starting precisely from the latest features.
Starting from sharing your screen, maybe.
Yeah, I need to find the right window to share. Okay, I think this is the one. No, is this the one?
No,
because nowadays, I see. Nowadays, Google Hangouts is making me start one browser and record with the other. What about this one? Is it okay now? Okay, so let's start basically just give an overview about the topics that we're going to cover. First, we cover about the latest versions of PHP 5.5.6 and 7.1. Then we comment about the fact that PHP 5.5 is end of life is coming this month, so they are figuring if they will do one last release or not. Then we talk about PHP 7.1.0 that will come to a feature freeze, as I mentioned before, which means nobody can submit more proposals after this. Then we talk about several RFCs, starting one about throwing exceptions when a function is called with some missing arguments. Then we talk about a discussion that went through several proposals to have, first, it was called type off, which would be a certain operator to get the names of certain variables or expressions. But the author of the proposal evolved into an RFC about var type, and then it finally he called it var info, which is something that he came up after some discussions in PHP internals mailing list. Then we'll be talking about a proposal to throw errors. I'm not sure if it will be errors or throw exceptions in extensions, because most things now in PHP can throw exceptions,
I guess.
But some I would say functions of extensions do not yet throw exceptions, so the idea would be to make it consistent, so everything that goes wrong can throw exceptions. Then there was an interesting discussion about mysterious reasons why PHP all of a sudden starts allocating too much memory. And there were several people talking about several possibilities, so we'll comment about it there. Then finally, there is an article about the 17th birthday of PHP classes. It basically covers the latest features that were implemented in the site, some related with something more recent, which is the support for Zephyr packages. Zephyr is a language derived from PHP, but it's more strict. And as well, PHP 7. I mean, there is now a category in packages that are PHP 7 specific. So these are the topics. So let's move on to the actual debate of the topics that we mentioned. First, talking about the latest releases, PHP 5.5, 37. They are considering having one last version after this one. As usual, this has been in security fixes mode. Like the only fixes that were done are related with security. As for 5.6.23, also there are several security fixes, but also other types of security fixes as usual. And then PHP 7.0.8 that also had a similar set of fixes, but there are some specific to PHP 7. I have not been using PHP 7 yet, so I'm not sure if this is so important. I mean, the fixes, of course, they are important for other people that are using PHP 7 actively. So about the new releases, that's basically it. So let's move on with other topics. First, as I mentioned, PHP 5.5 is end of life, is coming on planned date, which was July 10th, but they are planning to make one final release, PHP 5.5.38, on July 21st.
But they did not yet officially announce if they would make or not, would not make, but...
Yeah. If there are important bug fixes, I mean security fixes, I'm sure there will be one last release. It will be as fixed as possible, at least in terms of security fixes, because I believe many people will be using PHP 5.5 for a while, because they depend on what their hosting companies provide. Other than that, another topic that we're going to comment is about the planned feature freeze for PHP 7.1.0. So basically, after this, any new feature proposals will no longer be for PHP 7.1.0. And basically, there were a few alpha releases, I think two or three, not
two.
Until today.
Yeah, they wanted to have two alpha releases and then release first beta, but they decided to release one more alpha, so all builds are pushed back a bit. Something like that.
I think it makes sense. The first beta was supposed to be on July 7, but they are pushing for an alpha 3. But I did not notice, because today is already July 8.
Yeah,
I did not check if they actually released it. Let me check. Anyway, what matters is that PHP 7.1 is coming. The planned schedule. We have already talked about many features that it is going to have. So those that are hoping to use those features can already try them in the alpha or beta releases. So moving on to the next topic, now we start commenting about some of the latest proposals. And I'm not sure this day still will be in time for PHP 7.1. Let's start with this one first. This one is about replacing the missing argument warning when you are passing not enough arguments to a function, probably because it was a mistake. So the idea is to throw an exception to few arguments. I think this was already voted and already passed, as you may see here.
But I have actually a question. What if there is a case when passing variable is optional? I don't care if it's gonna if you are going to pass it or not going to pass it. I'll do something else.
I think of starting PHP 7, you need to put an ellipsis to tell PHP that you can expect a variable number of arguments.
I see. Okay, makes sense.
I think that is what you mean, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, if you want a variable number of arguments, you have to make that explicit. If you don't make that explicit, and the number of arguments is wrong, you could probably throw an exception. But in this case, to address when there are not enough arguments that are declared there, and those arguments are not optional, like they do not have default values. Okay, so moving on to the next topic, now a discussion about getting the names of variable types or expressions. This was interesting because the same author keep throwing different proposals. First he proposed here, then he proposed an RFC.
Seems to be the end RFC for that previous email.
Yeah.
Which is not named what type of was kind of, it's what JavaScript basically has. Yeah, so. Instead of using operator for as JavaScript, it's a var type function.
Yes, because the get type function already exists since a very long time. Let's think. PHP 4. I thought it was even older. Anyway, you could pass an expression or a variable, and it will return these names, as you can see here. So what the author of the proposal wanted is to have names that are more consistent to the names that are given to the types. For instance, when you specify type hinting, so it's not boolean, it's bool, it's not float,
it's a double.
It's not double, it's float. That's just to make it more consistent. So the get type function will continue to exist, but there will be this var type that sort of fixes the names of the types. And then there is also the var info proposal, which is, it's basically the same, but it supports other things like callable arrays. I mean, functions of classes that you can call, and some other. I think it's a more elaborated return value.
Yes, for debugging purposes and stuff like that.
I'm not. What I'm not sure is that if this proposal is to have multiple multiple functions, or one, the last proposal is to...
No, it's two proposals for two proposals for two different functions. One is var type, then which just gets a type, which is named exactly like other PHP types. And other is var info, which is more for debugging purposes. So you would not have to vary between objects and simple types. It just would be one function for all to provide more information what is in the variable.
Yes, I see. I think I now get the point. So if the proposal passes, the idea is to have both, not just one. Okay.
I'll separate voting for each of them, so one can pass, other can maybe not pass, probably something like that. Yeah.
So moving on, we add another proposal. Let's take a look. This one is to throw errors in exception in extensions.
That's probably why he didn't use exceptions, because it could be misled with extensions. Yeah, but basically, PHP throws exceptions.
But what I was trying to understand is that you throw an instance of error, so error will be an exception, or just a fatal error, because there are recoverable errors or not. I don't know. Anyway, this is just to make PHP more consistent, because now everything that is not working correctly can throw exceptions. So the idea is
errors or depending what.
Yeah. So this is to make it PHP more and more like Java, because in Java there are only exceptions. There are no such thing like errors, fatal errors, and I don't think it even, I'm not sure if it even supports callbacks for handling errors. Okay, now moving on to another topic, which is basically intriguing, because a user just posted in the PHP internals a case where on each PHP was like spending lots of memory, 140 terabytes of memory. I wonder how could he configure. Well, probably he has a machine with lots of memory or lots of swap space.
No, I think it's most probably it's an overflow somewhere, and that's why it's showing such a huge number.
Well, because I don't know about this, but because this year, I guess it's still 64 bits, not an overflow. He was trying to do something that allocated like 53 megabytes, and that exceeded the limit. No, it's actually the other way around. The limit was 53 megabytes. Yeah. No, hang on.
Yes.
Let me count this properly.
536
megabytes, and it says PHP tried to allocate 140 terabytes.
Yeah.
So this, and he observed this when he was trying to use something with curl. And then other people came up and suggested, if you had this problem, it could be an opcache bug in handling constant arrays in classes, something like this, which obviously does not require all that memory. So it would be a bug, but it says that bug was already fixed. Then there's somebody that also suggested, like you said, it could be an overflow. But obviously people need to have some sample code to reproduce the problem, or else it will be hard because it may be specific to a very to a situation that probably only you have experienced. Well, other than that, well, people kept giving ideas, and apparently it's not it's not just one situation that can cause this.
Yeah, there are many different there pieces.
Is somebody here that is suggesting that is could be a magic number, like some a number that is in PHP code just to throw a weird error. Anyway, this is intriguing, and I'm not sure if they already reached a conclusion.
I think that they, in the end, they have minimized some case when it happens, and he says that he will be upgrading to a new version to see if it helps, but no response for now.
Yeah, there's also some people suggesting could be when you use the ODBC extension.
Basically mixing 32 bits with 64-bit binaries.
Yeah, that could be. Maybe it could be just returning 32 bits in a variable that was expecting 64 bits. Well, could be. Anyway, if you have been through these problems that you don't know what could be the reasons, maybe you could look into this thread to get hints, because it may not be just one case. It may be different cases that lead to similar problems.
While it seems he emailed it and lots of responses and people are helping, but is the PHP internals mailing list really the right place to report such bug?
Well, I think the person was trying to call the attention to something that is weird. And because there is not much reason for a message like this to appear, and could be a bug related with several things, not just one specific case. So obviously, the right way is to post a bug report and let other developers see what if they probably have passed through that situation, if they could somehow give an idea of what could be happening. So maybe it could be something that you can implement a workaround without actually waiting for an official fix of the code. That's how I interpreted this attempt of that user to go to PHP internals instead of just posting a bug report. Probably already posted a bug report, but I did not see it. But at least with this, you can discuss with others that may have passed through the same situation. Now, we're just going to comment briefly, or not, I'm not sure how briefly this will be, about a post that was published in PHP Classes blog regarding the 17th birthday, which, to be accurate, it was on June 24th. So the post was just to recap about the latest features implemented in the site. I think we already mentioned about them, at least some of them, or I would say most of them. But let's just review them quickly, mention which are more recent or not. One is to search for packages recommended by other users, which is a feature already implemented, I think it was in February, on which you can search not only for packages, but package recommendations. So if you are looking for a package to solve some problem, you can use the site search and also see recommendations from the package recommendation pages in the results. And this may be helpful to let you figure what are the most recommended packages by other users for certain purposes. Then there is a mention of, about the improvements in package publishing system. There are several improvements in the user interface, the reduction of steps, make it less bureaucratic, encouraging people to import packages from repositories, I mean Git repositories or others. Then there is a feature that was actually, it's more like a bug fix or a limitation fix to allow developers to import large packages. Since the site started allowing to import packages from repositories, there are more and more developers are importing huge packages, and by huge I mean hundreds and sometimes thousands of files. And then we will there is a problem, because the way that the import system works, it would open the retrieve the file contents into memory. So when the whole package was so large that it exhausted the memory, it will not be able to import those packages. So I implemented one workaround that is actually interesting. Not many people are aware. There is a function in PHP that creates temporary files. So you can, instead of storing data in strings, you can just write that data to temporary files, and you can read those files back within the same script, and at the end of the script PHP automatically deletes those temporary files. So that's the workaround that I implemented, and now there are, I think there are packages with 6,000 files. Well, obviously those are not simple packages, those are whole systems.
Weren't there also a problem when you need to assign the role of each file and, or something like that?
Well, when you are importing from a repository, specifically from Git repositories that do not provide descriptions or even less information about roles, the site doesn't allows you to set up an option to import files and without descriptions, and it just puts the name of the role in the description. So if it is a class, it puts class in the description. If it is example, it puts example in the description. And since in the latest times the site improved the way it guesses the role of the files, so now it's more automatic, and people do not need to spend so much effort to specify the roles of the files, because most of the times the guesses are correct. And well, if you have a package with 6,000 files, certainly you are not going even to verify if the roles are correct, because it will take you a lot of time. So that's how it works now. And the only thing is that there is a limit. You can only import 1,000 files at a time. So if you have more files, it will tell you to import the rest of the files going through the same process again. Because I don't know if you remember, PHP has a configuration option to limit the number of request variables. And since the site shows you the input forms, if you are going to import lots of files, there will be lots of input form variables. And it was exceeding that limit. So that's why it is limiting the number of files that you can import at a time. But if you have 6,000 times, just repeat the process 6 times and that will be it. Then there was just a mention here about more visibility to notable packages that now are announced in the site blog as well. In the there is a notice that goes to all users that are active in the site to let them know which are the active packages. Then there is also a mention that now the elephant plush toy is now one of the prizes that the Innovation Award winners can earn. There is actually a picture here of Gabriel Couto Rodriguez that got the first elephant prize. And there is, it even shows there is a band here with his name and the Innovation Award month that he was a winner. And there was a second elephant that was already sent to Chan Tuan from Thailand that got an elephant, although it was not the winner. It seems the first five nominees did. Were not so interested in the elephant, or they did not realize the elephant was an optional prize.
Or maybe they already had it.
Well, in some cases, yes. Especially if they participated and won the Innovation Award Championship by country, and their country won. Then there is also a mention about the Innovation Award winner certificates. And there is a sample of a certificate was also mentioned. Also mentioned about these certificates in a past article and podcast episode. And now the new thing about the more recent features that were implemented is support to the Zephyr language. I don't know if you are familiar with the Zephyr language. It is basically a language derived from PHP. And that language, let me show you an example here. Let me show an example here below with some code. Actually, this is one package called the Endless Socket. We have not mentioned about it yet because it was nominated last month. But if you look here, I'm not sure would it be. Let's take a look at this source code. So this is an example of Zephyr. Code, it's as you may see, is very similar to PHP, but it no longer has that
PHP mark tag start. Dollar sign too.
Yes, and it supports strict typing, and this language is used to compile into PHP extensions. So one interesting thing, for instance, there is that framework called Falcon that is written in Zephyr and that is compiled into a PHP extension that eventually may run faster or not. It depends. Sometimes the code that it implements relies on too much I/O operations, so there will not be much of a speed improvement. But eventually, in some cases, you will gain some speed. So this is interesting. So what matters now is, as you may see, P3Cost site already supports this type of language code and even highlights it, which was not very hard because it is the same highlighting code for PHP, except that you need to put a fake PHP start tag. And some time ago, there was also created a category for PHP 7 specific classes. There are a few already, like 18, probably more. And because some were not yet approved, but they will be. But well, that is it. I wasn't wanting to cover that. Now, finally, one last thing that was announced was not really about PHP code specific. It is a new initiative that I started recently, which one aims to help developers to evolve in their careers, but instead of working for others, the idea is to become business owners, so they develop software products that they sell to many customers. And the idea is, in this article, I was announcing this, and I am already mentioning a couple of articles, a couple of videos that I already published more, because some time passed since this article. There is first one video explaining why it is a good idea for developers to become business owners by creating software products. Because there are many people that have their own companies, but they still work as contractors or freelancers or consultants. So they still need to work for other people. And since they trade time by money, and since their time is limited, they also can only make a limited amount of money. So the idea is just to share my knowledge, what I learned for all these years, explaining what to do, what not to do, to create a business based on software products. And hopefully I will be sharing some advice that will be useful for people to evolve this in their careers be able not only to make more money, but also be happier working from home wherever they want, or work at any time they want, work with the technologies they want. So basically have more freedom. Well, talking about this, I don't know, Artus, if you have been following these videos. These are not specific about PHP. I know that nowadays you program a lot more about with Node.js, but this can also apply to any software business that uses any language. So I was wondering, what is your opinion and what you think about this? Is this useful for you?
Yeah, well, kind of, yes. As you said, I have my own company, but I'm mostly working as contractor. But there are some projects that I'm involved in are not salary-based, but profit-sharing-based, so they are kind of similar to owning your own business. The more sales you make, the more money comes in. But I think the hardest part mostly for this type to start is firstly getting an idea of what exactly do you want to do, what exactly do you want to create.
Yeah.
That would probably be the first roadblock that I see for myself if I would want to start probably a business right now.
So what would be your main difficulty? Let's see if I don't know if you already watched these videos or
no. Actually, I didn't. I want to watch it, but had no time lately. I want to go through them on weekend and then discuss it more with you. Yeah, but as I said, for me right now, if I'm thinking, I should start my own software business. Then the first problem is an idea. What should I create? Something that others would buy. What would it be? Or yeah. How do I know that it would be something that others would buy?
Basically. Yes, and that is interesting because that is a frequently asked question. Most people say, "Oh, I want to become independent. I have all those advantages of having my own business, working on my software product, but I do not have an idea, or I have many ideas and I'm not sure which one I will pursue, which is the best." And just to give you a quick answer, the reality is that you should not start with an idea, you should start with a problem. Instead of having an idea which may seem cool in the beginning and trying to push it to the market, you should look at your customers, other people, and see what problems do they have. And then from then on, you evolve to an eventual one or more ideas to address that problem. And this is something that happens a lot to people that try and then they cannot succeed because they started with their idea. They are very attached to their idea because it's there, it's something personal, and they want to do very hard for their idea to succeed, only to realize later that the idea was not so good after all, because there was not many people willing to pay for products that implement that idea. My intention is to share all those cases that will help you to realize when an idea is maybe good or not so good. But anyway, if you have not seen all the videos, I'm not going to spoil the surprise.
Yeah.
You just go there. And I have created a separate site. It is not specific to PHP classes. I just wanted to post this in PHP classes because it's the target audience of these developers that want to.
You want to share a screen for the site?
Yes, I was trying to find the button. Okay, so this is just a page on which the video appears. You have many people already comment because they are very happy that I'm sharing my experience, and they really want to know how to succeed, because we developers have this limitation. We know a lot about technical stuff, but then when it comes to turning our technical skills into businesses, we don't know much. We don't know much because nobody taught us. So if you go to school, you learn a lot about algorithms, methodologies, frameworks, and stuff. But then that is only useful when you work for others. You need to know more. And what is really not obvious for most developers is that to create a business, you need to understand a lot of psychology. So the challenge is not technical nor financial, is about psychology, because when you want to sell products to other people, you need to understand about the customers, and you also need to understand about suppliers, and then you also need to understand about employees, if you need employees, and you also need about understand about partners, because often you're not going to start a business alone, so you need to know how to find the ideal partners that will really help and cooperate. to make your business succeed, as many businesses fail because disagreements between partners. So in these videos, as you will see, you can learn a lot about this. So my intention for now is to publish some of these videos. And if you want to know when the next videos are published, you can sign up here. You can even sign up via Facebook and even get a notification faster than if you sign up by email. And you'll be notified. What will happen next? Actually, I started it today, is that I'm going also to give free consulting to people that have specific questions and want to know what would be the solutions for the problems that they found. So I already started today. Actually, I recorded this earlier today with Michael Kinsel. If you remember him, he's been a PHP developer for a long time and also participated in the Lately in JavaScript podcast. He had tried many types of businesses. He wanted to know about how to make his ideas work, so I already gave him some advice, but I have not even edited the video, but I'm going to publish it soon. So you just sign up here and you'll be notified. Later, there will be a free workshop, like 3 or 4 videos with more details. They will be more in-depth to let you know the essentials about creating software product businesses. So that is the idea. I hope that you also get interested, and if you have questions, if you would like to clarify some doubts, we can also settle a free consulting session just to answer those questions. The only condition, because those things take me time, the only condition is that you allow to publish those consulting sessions recording on video. But if you do not want to disclose your identity because you probably do not want to reveal certain details of the businesses that you are working on or worked in the past, your identity may be hidden, your image will be hidden, your name will be hidden, and your voice can be distorted. So the idea is to help you at the same time if you prefer your identity. What do you think? Does this sound interesting to you?
Yeah, sure. I think we can, after I watch your videos, we can follow up on the discussion about the ideas, because I have some ideas that were constructed out of problems that I had and did not find solutions. And then let me think about how I could proceed further, and then we can discuss it, I think.
Yeah, that's great. I have several other people interested. And there will be a way for other people to sign up to also apply to have this free consulting. And let's see how this goes, and hopefully I will be sharing very useful information that helps many other people to create their own software businesses. Hello, now we are going to talk about the Innovation Award winners and nominees. First, we start by the Innovation Award winners and nominees of April in JS classes for JavaScript. Arturos, which ones would you like to comment? There are like 7 nominees. That was great.
Let me zoom in a bit. And the first one what I wanted to comment is a Web Code CamJS Chrome extension, which basically packages a Chrome extension that allows you to scan a QR code with your webcam and it displays data. I think there was a screenshot of how it would work. So this was it. And as you see that when you take a picture and sparse, it would can show you the contents of it, and it's made as a nice Chrome extension. And this package was developed by Andras Tot from Hungary, and he did not choose a price. But yeah, I think it's not his first package as extension, or it will be in the next awards, I think.
Yeah,
I remember there was something similar about the Chrome extension, right?
Yes, actually, there's a package that do that, but not as a Chrome extension. But he also has other nice Chrome extensions.
Yeah, which I thought so.
Because not everybody knows how to implement Chrome extensions in JavaScript.
That's really nice. Next one I wanted to comment is a package called JS Canvas Shapes Draw. Basically, it's package that not only can draw different shapes, but also provides a UI, a user interface to draw it. I think we can have a couple of screenshots here that would show the whole UI and the parametric, and you can draw arbitrary or shapes or predefined shapes, or probably even evaluate functions. So it can be really complex, and in the end, you have your shapes drawn. Don't know really the purpose, maybe, but the idea is that it's implemented in Canvas and all the UI is there. It is really interesting, and basically,
it seems more like an application than an individual component.
Exactly. And it was developed by Juan Jose from Spain, and he got one ebook of choice by BACT for this package. The next one I wanted to mention is JavaScript MP4 parser, which parses MP4 video files and extracts meta information about it. And it was developed by Dan Tigny-Francois from France. I don't think there is a demo or anything more. Yeah, basically, but the usage is as easy as this. You just provide a file, and in the callback, you get the data. Yes, you want to mention something?
I think his name is Francois, because it's French. And probably he did not put the Sibylla in there. He also has developed several other components that perform the same action, but for different video formats. So it's quite interesting and useful.
Okay. And the last one is Pax Seguro, Node.js. Do I pronounce it correctly? I think it's a payment processing service, and Edvard Zimonek from Brazil developed Node.js module to deal with this payment processing, probably to accept payments, right? So yes. Is it something popular in Brazil?
Yes, that's a payment provider in Brazil, and he developed an interface to that payment provider, but in Node.js, so it can process not only redirect the user to the payment page. It's similar to PayPal. But also process the notifications about the status of the payments. So it's useful for those that are using Node.js.
Yeah, that's it on my part.
Okay, on my part, I would also like to comment on a few packages. Let me pick them here. Need to share the screen as always, but this time it's more complicated because
we have to find the right screen.
I need to share on one browser the screen of the other browser. Okay, I think now you see it, right?
Yep.
So first one that I'd like to comment is precisely a similar package, the one you mentioned by Dantini Francois, for doing the same, except it's for video files on AVI format. The AVI format is quite used on Windows. So what it does is practically the same, like being able to read some information from the files and tell details about the files even before you actually upload them to the server. So you can do this on the browser. The next package that I want to comment is another package, this time by Qiu Huang from France, and he has submitted a package that seems simple, but it's still interesting, to manage lists of books of authors, and provides a way to list them and sort them on the page by name, author, and genre, and publication date. So all this is done at the browser side. So it is useful when you want to display these kind of listings, and you already have all the information in the page, but you just sort it according to the user criteria. And the last page that I want to mention, yet again, another package for the same purpose. This one by Dantini for Francois is for processing, I think it's Matroska, right? The MKV format. So it's yet another format for video, but this one is for Matroska format. So kudos again. I think it's sent in even more, but it were approved in the next month. So I think you'll talk back to him again soon. Now, regarding the Innovation Award rankings of 2016, they did not change much, despite that we have had several more packages to comment, nominated from these different people. And the stuff is still ahead with 4 packages and 16 points, but Dantini Francois is coming close with 4 packages and 14 points. Then comes Juan Jose from Spain, one package for 6 points. Edvaldo Zimonek with one package and 5 points. Stefan Shepard, one package and 3 points. Akobian from, I think, Armenia, right? Armenia with one package and 3 points. He's tied with also Stefan Shepard, Kiwan from France, and Sergio Flores Janis from Mexico, all with one package and 3 points. In 9th position, then comes Pravin Sonawane with one package and 2 points, and then Far Adur Rahim from Bangladesh with one package and 1 point. Now, by country, this time France passed Hungary, so there were some changes here. It is not like in the past months that there was a relation between the first place and his country in the award winners by country. So this time France is ahead with 5 packages and 17 points, followed by Hungary with 4 packages and 16 points. Then comes Spain with one pack 6 points, Brazil with one pack 5 points, then Mexico with 2 packages and 4 points, tied with Armenia. Then comes Australia with one pack and 3 points, then India with one pack and 2 points, Bangladesh with one package and 1 point. So that's all for the JavaScript Innovation Award. For the PHP Innovation Award, things are getting more complicated. In April, we had like 14 nominees. It is great because lots of innovative packages are being sent. we only have more work to comment about it. So let's get started. Artus, which one would you like to comment?
Let me find the proper screen. Zoom in. Okay, so the first one, the first one I wanted to comment is PHP image mosaic generator. I always love these kind of packages, especially if they come, demo is the first one, with screenshots. So basically what it does, you pass an array of images and it will generate a mosaic for one image as a PDF file. So it could look something like this, for example. Which is interesting, I think.
It's unusual, I would say. Yeah. There were packages to generate mosaics, or not mosaics, maybe tile images, not necessarily with a mosaic effect. And this one is interesting because it generates a PDF file, which is probably meant for printing.
Yeah, so it also looks like a nice page in the beginning of the book, for example, and stuff like that. And it was developed by Luciano Salvino from Argentina, and he got one copy of the Zen Studio.
Your Spanish accent is great.
Yeah. Actually, yeah.
I suspect you've been training.
Okay, Argentina. Sounds better? Yeah.
I'm not Spanish. It just looked close. Is it?
Will you believe me if I say that I don't see difference between Spanish and Portuguese much?
I don't know. It's quite different than the sounding. Although the words, when in written, they all came from Latin. But yeah. Okay, let's move on.
Yeah. Okay, so he got one copy of Zen Studio for this package. And the next one I want to comment is also quite similar and interesting. Is a PHP photo wall gallery, which has many different functions like creating walls of galleries of pictures and stuff like that. But one of them interested me specifically. Yeah, so you can generate walls of pictures and even columns and stuff like that. But one of it interested me the most, which is an ASCII image with generated from symbols. So the photo generated by ASCII. Okay, I think that was a better one. For some reason,
one of last
did not load it. I think
it's not loading.
Yeah. Okay. Just it's loading different images, random images.
That's one, right?
Sorry.
I think that's the one, the one of the soccer player.
Yeah. So it's just interesting. Also, it creates such an interesting effect. So, yeah, but it supports many other functionalities also, and resizing and photo walls and stuff like that.
Yes, but photo walls is probably the most interesting feature because many people now are getting used to, say, photo walls when you do image search on Google. Probably they want to implement something similar on their sites.
Yeah.
I would like to comment on a few packages as well. Starting precisely by one that I'm even surprised why it did not get much votes. Maybe the author did not campaign enough for this. Because I know some authors do that. Vote for me. I want to win the Innovation Award. And it's okay. It's not illegal. You can ask for votes. We just cannot create fake accounts to vote on yourself because the site has some means to sort of detect that. Anyway, that's another story. So this package that I wanted to comment, I need to share the screen if I find the right window. Okay. And this one is called Pretty PHP S3 Files Manager and was developed by Trang Tran from Vietnam. And is what they develop is a more complex package, and it was one of the first to have more than 1,000 files, because this is practically an application to manipulate files that you may have on the Amazon S3 server, and it provides an Ajax-based interface. You can do all perform all sorts of operations on the files, and it was curious because I was not expecting people to send packages this large, and there are even packages that are even larger. And this package, when the author was uploading it, is telling me, oh, I'm entering the descriptions of all files. You're, oh, no, you do not need to do that, because you will never end to enter this. You can actually skip entering the descriptions, and the site cannot automatically assign descriptions of files to the roles. And that was when I realized there was a bug, because the site only allows to import 100 files at a time. By then I raised that limit. But when it moved to the next set of files to import, the site was requiring to enter the description, even if you specify to not enter them. So anyway, this package is great. And another detail is that this author is another one that got the one big elephant plush mascot that I have shown in the ear here. This one is the elephant that I don't know, it's still in the mail, because it's from Vietnam. I think it takes a few weeks to arrive. And as you may see, there is a his name here, and as well the place that he got in the respective month. So congratulations for him. I'm not sure why the previous winners did not notice there was an elephant prize. It's always mentioned in the messages, or they may not need, may not want to get that prize. Anyway, moving on, the next one that I would like to comment is this one. It is basically based on a web service called PHP Reports. It was developed by Murat Sileli from Turkey, and what it does is it's useful for many people, because it can generate PDF or docx documents from templates, and you just upload the template and upload the values, and it can generate the PDF or docx for Microsoft Word filled with the name value. So it is very useful for many people, because they often need to generate documents from this format, and they can just start from a template defined in docx format, and just have the service to replace the values and return the resulting document. So congratulations to Murat, and he got 1 year server license of IP2Country database. Talking about the Innovation Award ranking of 2016, things seem to have changed a bit. So far, Christian Wieg is in first place with 6 packages and 43 points. Then followed by Barhat Parmar with 3 packages and 34 points, from India. Christian Wieg is from France. And then Dave Smith, the winner of last year, is in fourth place with 32 points. He was ahead so far, but he was surpassed by Christian and Barat that have been submitting more packages recently. Then in fourth place is Johnny Mast from the Netherlands with 2 packages and 28 points. Jeremy Ogbomo from Nigeria, I think, with 2 packages and 26 points. Kasper Ruinski from Poland with 2 packages and 24 points. Luciano Salvino from Argentina with 2 packages and 24 points. Then Andrea Battellocchi from Italy with 2 packages and 20 points. Then Gabriel Cotto with 1 package and 18 points. And then Mohamed Al-Ashal from Egypt with 1 package and 17 points. Now, by countries, things also have changed a bit. Because Brazil is now first with 6 packages and 68 points, followed by United States with 9 packages and 61 points. Then comes India with 5 packages and 60 points, France with 8 packages and 59 points, and then Netherlands with 3 packages and 42 points, Nigeria with 4 packages and 39 points, Italy 3 packages and 30 points, Argentina 3 packages and 29 points, Spain with 4 packages and 28 points, and Egypt with 2 packages and 27 points is in 10th place. So by country, things are seem to have also warmed up. There were some changes because Brazil is now in first place, but the following places, the following countries are also very close. So until the end of the year, we don't know yet who is going to win, because there is no clear winner that is ahead. Let's wait and see how this is going to evolve for the next month. So with this, we practically end this edition of Lightly in PHP podcast. I hope it has been interesting, not just about the PHP topics, but also about the software product creation business possibilities that you can evolve into. So on my behalf, that is all for now. Bye.